Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. Our guest today, legend out of Duke, Dukie Blue Devil, 13-year NBA career, a member of what I consider the greatest NBA championship team of all time, the 2016 Cavs.
I appreciate you.
Now assistant coach with Ty Lue, the Los Angeles Clippers, Dante Jones. We appreciate you pulling up.
Appreciate you guys.
I forgot he's a LeBron fan, so he over here hyping up your championship.
3-1 comeback? Is that 73-9 Warriors? That doesn't mean anything anymore.
Deal.
73-9.
Yeah, you're right.
Saying. But, all right, before we got a ton of stuff we're going to cover with you, but I got to hit you on something first. You're born in Trenton, New Jersey. I was born out that way, too, but grew up in L.A. But New York Hoopers, they think that they have, you know, the best ballers, even though obviously that title goes to L.A. But I want to ask you, do you feel like New Jersey Hoopers get the love that they deserve?
I don't think so. We had this big conversation about, like, where you from. Like, what do you declare is somebody, where they being from? Is that, like, where they were born at, or is where they went to high school at? But we got a bunch of guys from Jersey that can hoop. My cousin Al Harrington was a number one player in the country. Shaq was born in Jersey. Kai is from Jersey. Like, we got hoopers that have come, J.R. Smith, Jersey. Mm-hmm. We got a whole bunch of people that have come through, and we don't get a lot of credit because we don't really stand on the whole New York side of everything, and we definitely keep ourselves separate from New York.
I personally think
the Cali get the
New better. York. No, of course we the best.
I wouldn't say y'all the best. Y'all the biggest state. Like,
we have the best ballers.
Okay, cool. Cali or L.A.?
L.A.
This crew of guys in the NBA right now, currently, yes.
Period.
Not at all time.
You know, I like, you know, Baron Davis, you know, all of them, right? Paul Pierce.
Baron Davis, Paul Pierce, they're in the same, yeah, they're in the same.
Yeah,
crew,
we all
but,
like this.
But after that, and then you go, the Valley's finest.
Yeah, the Valley. Yeah, yeah, you got all of us, man. But what's so funny is, New York fell off with Mulberry now.
I wouldn't say they fell off with that. No, because the problem with New York is that guys go to prep schools other places.
Yeah, because so, they be like, old as shit. They be like 20 in high school, so they got
to
go.
LA is old now, too. Now they got 19-year-old freshmen and stuff right now, so let's not do that.
We done fell into that pool, but that's what happened to New York, though. It was like everybody became
in Maine and...
But like 50-year, 6-year, 70-year prep schools. Like you said, grown men.
I ain't not doing it.
Families coming into college already.
I know.
But see, I think that's why no one can keep up with New York ballers, because they prep school... They're junior, senior year, so you don't know where they are.
It gets a little tricky.
Yeah. So, want to hit you, okay, we talk about Jersey ballers. Who's the best player to come out of Jersey that you've played against?
Played against?
Yeah, played against. So, not all encompassing, but somebody you hooped against. I mean, you could say Al, you could say, you know.
Kai.
And there we have it.
And I've technically played against Kyrie.
Yeah, for sure.
Kyrie Irving, yeah.
He's
most skilled guard, in my opinion, of all time. Like, he can score in all levels. He can spot up, shoot. He can create for himself. He can post. Like, he's one of the best finishers at the basket of all time. Like, he's a lot to handle. Can go both ways. Can finish both ways.
Did you play against Wagner?
I played against him my senior year, his freshman year. So he was All-State. First team with me my senior year in high school. So it was him, me, Danny Miller, Al Harrington, Jason Williams was a junior.
So he was that good already?
Troy Murphy.
He was that good already?
Yeah, freshman, he was destroying people.
Okay.
He'd get to a bucket. Like, he was just scoring. Like, he could score 30 a game. I played him actually my senior year in the preseason, and I took a charge and he broke his wrist. And almost died. Because they carried like 200-300 people with him everywhere he went, and then they're in our gym, about to shut our gym down. Like, But he was young, so he didn't have his pull-up game together. Like, he was just diving at the basket fully. I took a charge. He fell on his wrist. He's out a couple weeks.
So they blamed you for that? They were ready?
Kind of did, because, like, he was Jesus in that era of basketball. Like, he had a full crowd that followed him everywhere he went. I was at Rutgers, and I went to, like, a state maybe championship game at Rutgers, and it was all an arena full of people for him.
Just for him.
And they filled it up better than we filled it up. Jay-Z was at that game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people really came to see him. He was a phenom, but, like, before, like, the LeBron James of the phenoms. Like, he had this, our state on lock.
Yeah, because when I was at Jordan camp. Jordan camp was at 99. No, Jordan camp. Yeah, no, 2000 is after my freshman year. And he came to the Jordan camp, and that's all you heard. They didn't care about nobody else.
Listen.
It's not, we got Wayne. We got Wayne.
And he never disappointed you. Just like his son. I went to see his son the other day. Mm-hmm. His son, he does not disappoint you. Like, he's out there fully dominating. They can score any level. He can play. He's tough. They can do it all. Like, especially on the high school level. Like, his son is nice? Yes. As they guarantee it, he is nice. He can get to a bucket. Yes.
Okay.
He ain't scared of nobody.
Is he going to be better than Pops?
Probably, because Pops can give him some game. Like, every generation is going to be better than the next. And that's what you hope for. You hope for that he can be better than Pops. Pops is going to try and teach him where he went wrong and how he can make him better. And hopefully he can take it
is
somewhere.
Is he an explosion like Pops?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pops could shoot from, and Pops was shooting at the hash mark before people were shooting at the hash mark, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, Pops had a pull-up game as a sophomore.
Yeah.
Like, get to a spot and pull up when everybody else is just trying to run it into people and just not understanding the game of basketball. He got all that. He's fast. He can run the point. He can get downhill. He's made. He seems like he plays the game in a more full manner, but as a scorer too. Like, he can really control a game.
So let's talk about your son, Tanner, who I was watching some highlights of.
That's his favorite. But it's tough. It's tough.
And for people that, you know, obviously your NBA career, but at Duke and the stuff that you were getting off, I'm watching clips of your son, I'm like, damn, this looks like Dante back in the day when he was just free to go get buckets, do what he wanted to do. When you look, he's going to be a junior in high school now, mm-hmm. right? Now, how do you help him? I saw an interview he did for a paper, and he was talking about just kind of dealing with the pressure of following in your footsteps. How do you help him deal with that? And do you put any pressure on him to follow in your footsteps as well, or to just, you know, let him worry about being his own man and having his own game?
Well, first of all, we have two separate games, period. Mm-hmm. My son is extremely skilled. He can really shoot the ball.
Facts.
And but you said you couldn't do it? I mean,
well, no. He's been developed differently. Like, he's been playing basketball since he was in Pampers. Like, okay. I remember he was like 18 months old, learning how to walk, and he's shooting at on the wall of my room door. Like, he's been ingrained in basketball. Some of his first words were defense. Like, he's been in arenas his whole type of life. I didn't have that life. So he's been dribbling his ball and been, like, he's coming to YouTube era, been watching plays, learning how to play, been in NBA arenas, like, learning from different guys, been around Kai at an early age, been around Bron at an early age, like, seeing all this stuff. So his game is more mature than mine. I started really playing basketball in, like, sixth, seventh grade.
Yeah.
And never really thought about being a professional athlete until I got to college, until, like, my cousin Al was like, yo, when you getting coming into the draft? And I was like, how you do it? I was always preparing for life after basketball. I was wanting to go get a college scholarship, play basketball in college, but, like, I didn't really think, it didn't really cross my mind that I could be a professional athlete. So from the door, that's been his focus. So he's kind of focused his game after, like, a Kai. He can score, he can get downhill, he can really shoot it. He has my build, he's strong and athletic. But he just plays it. He plays it at a different level than I did, because I didn't have the opportunity to be a guard. Like, I was the biggest person on my team. They put you in the post. Like, now they'll let a 7-foot person play guard. Like, back then, they just, you're big, you're a center, you're a power forward. I didn't play guard to AAU in, like, my junior year, and my AAU coach was like, no, you're a shooting guard. I thought I was a 4. Okay, cool. Now I get to do some different things. But so he's been a point guard his whole life, a big point guard at that. And yeah, he had some gifts that I just didn't have. I didn't focus on shooting. I just was just having fun and hooping.
Yeah, I'm his agent, so.
Yeah, he loves the kid.
Yeah, so he's, he's better than Dante.
Yes, yes.
And we got all the skills, we got the dribble skills, we got the hesitation. And I'm kind of disappointed in Dante because he put him on another AAU team when that's my guy.
That's always been his guy.
I teach my guy 1-4 flat. Do not care about the rest of the team.
The 1-4.
He was the one I used to say, hey, don't pass. It's okay. Do you. 1-4 flat.
Yeah, he's bad for him in that area. But how I try to help him out.
Shoot it.
We watch clips. Like, now that I am a coach, I get to see it in a different capacity, break the game down for him, show him how to be a point guard, just teach him different intricacies because it can get kind of boring because he plays in Missouri. So, like, he can dominate off his body. Mm-hmm. But now you're on the EYBL stage right now, and you're used to just being able to dominate people who now they're maybe bigger or faster than you. Now you have to, like, think it with your mind, and you have different responsibilities. So now I get to be more hands-on because I also already have him during the summer.
So what's it like for you both of y'all, just seeing that world now, you know, coming up, it was, you know, regional, sectional, like you were playing with guys in the same area. Now you get an EYBL, dudes is jumping teams, you got trades, free agent. I mean, you got all this crazy stuff going on now with these leagues.
I think, you know, EYBL, all of that is just, it's a money play now, so it's not the same when we came up. You know, like the teams then were just all dominant players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was, if you was a freshman and you was on that team, you was high level. Like, just to be a freshman on a traveling team back then, you was nice as hell. There was no 15U, 16U, 16U, gold, platinum, and hold back. It was just one team. And if you was nice, you made that team. If you didn't, see your ass next tryout, goddammit.
See, I had a different experience. Being on the East Coast, like, we only came and saw the West Coast for Vegas tournament.
Yeah,
like,
and the Bigfoot.
Yeah,
and maybe Pump and Run and Dominguez or something, like, so
first time I saw, like, Mike Miller, I was like, oh, man, like, I never had seen a 6'8 white guy that could, like, dunk and really shoot and, like, really be athletic. I was blown away because we don't just have those on the East Coast. But my team was, we had the same jersey, different shorts. Everybody had their own shorts and their own shoes. But, like, me and my cousin Al, and we had some dudes from around the way. And they were just putting us on the circuit. Like, we didn't...
Had a bullshit team.
We one of them. Like, but they could hoop.
Non-matching shorts.
But my coach, Sandy Pione, was, like, taking kids from his area and, like, taking care of them. So, like, Randy Foy was one of them. Like, Kai was one of them. He had another big man... I can't remember his name before, but Al was one of his products. Like, they were kids from around the way that he just put and showed them a different side of basketball. I would literally have to drive an hour and a half to go to practice every day. So my parents actually worked in New Jersey. My parents worked in New Brunswick. They would come back south home from work, and then we would go up to North Jersey to take me to practice twice a week. Yeah. So that's probably 3 hours of driving. Just to go and practice a day, because we didn't have any AAU teams where I was from.
Oh, so there was basically no.
Yeah, so we were just, I found a team that was kind of had some sponsorship, was going a couple places and jumped on it. I didn't have a collection of, like, killers to go with. You probably had some kids that could really, really, really hoop. I'm 6'6", but I might be the third tallest dude on the team. I had me, Al, I'm trying to see the next person that played with me. Remember James Felton?
No.
6'10 kid that went to St. John's. But Rodney White.
Okay, yeah.
Rodney White. I had Rodney White for a couple of tournaments. But, like, Rodney was floating between D.C. and Philly. Like, his family.
Oh, so he was in D.C. assault.
But, yeah, but his family structure kept changing, so he was in different places at that time. So he had us for a couple of tournaments. Like, we didn't have the resources. We didn't have... I was blown away when CMH had Jordan uniforms.
Yeah,
we had
was a poor, like, AAU team. We got it. It was like a park league.
So we didn't have what y'all had.
Shit, I played with the K-Swiss squad.
You played with 4D stars too, though.
And 4D had no gear. We had the matching unis, though.
But then my senior year, since I graduated at, like, I was a 16-year-old senior and a 17. I graduated at 17. When I graduated, I started playing with the Tim Thomas players.
Mm.
So they started getting, like, really funding, Tim was putting money behind them. So I got to play my age, but I'm technically going to college. So I got a little bit of that as a senior, but I didn't get the full brunt of everything because...
Back then, like, I didn't really, like DC Assault, when they came in, you know, DeMar Johnson, Kevin Lau, Majestic and
all. Yeah, so we had to play against what's the name with Ron Artest, Eric Barkley, Reggie Jesse.
Team, yeah,
with Riverside, or
Riverside
no?
Church.
Yeah.
We had to play against them.
Y'all got smacked.
No, we actually competed with them. No. They're a year earlier than us.
So I got smacked.
The teams that we had to compete with were like the Len Greers and the Rasul Butlers in Philly.
The Philly team, Atlanta Celtics, probably.
Atlanta Celtics.
Yeah,
what's the name? CMH. So they had Corey Maggette, Earl Watson.
That was Mike Miller's
Jerome
on that squad,
Rush.
Too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, they was a little older than me, so I didn't get to see that.
Yeah, they were a little older, but then Jerron is my class, and Corleone Young is my class. Those are top five people in the country. Like, we got to see them. They have full funding and stuff.
they had
their first team was with Jordan uniforms. We was like, man, yeah, like, we don't know what we're doing.
Our team was when they had Tyson Chandler was a freshman. And then you had the couples that it was not the Cal, it was Southern Cal All-Stars.
Yeah, the SoCal squad.
It was Kenny Bruner, Jason Thompson, Tayshaun Prince, and then you had Jason Thomas.
Okay.
And then you had, which that he was God. he was God.
There was
football
a kid out here on the West Coast. The Jason Capel and was it Jason Capel? Yeah, out of
that's over in your area.
What's the name? DC had teams, but Virginia had teams.
Virginia had teams too.
Ronald Curry
was on that
Jason
team.
Jason Capel, like they have full team. Boo Williams, they have full.
Yeah, but
they have,
see, that's what I said. Okay, teams. That's what I said back then.
We had to play against them, but we didn't really have what they had. But we'd be that team that, like, you look at them like, yeah, we're gonna smack them, and then now you're in a full battle with us. Yeah.
But see, that's what I said. But now everyone spreads. So you have one guy on here, like you play against a team, you beat them by like 45, and you're like, you AAU team? Because a parent got mad, her son wasn't playing.
Right.
Now she want to create her own little team.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There's so many AAU teams.
There's so many AAU teams now that it's just like,
You can jump from AAU team.
Yeah, that's what they do.
But we didn't have a full circuit. Like, I appreciate the circuit now where you can't really run. Like, you got to see these dudes every week. Like, they all in the same. Like, my first time being on the circuit EYL was like 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. And I was like, this is heaven. Because look at that court and you see a little DJ Wagner and you get to see like, oh, this is real. Like, it's basketball heaven for me, for a guy who you may go to a tournament, but that guy that you see ranked may not ever be there. Everybody in this gym, you could go to court four and see three dudes in the top 10 or another dude over there playing against them. Like, you got to see these people. You can't run.
Yeah, see, that's how it was where, you know, Pump Camp, when, like, Carlos Boozer and them, like, because Carlos Boozer, he was the last. I thought he was a counselor, camp counselor. That's how big he was.
Grown man with the, he had, like, the bowl cut back then.
Bro, like, I came, like, yo, hey, where's the lunch area? He was like, I'm looking for that, too. How you not know where the lunch area? You work here. He's like, I don't work here. I'm a sophomore. Wait, come here?
Yeah. Yeah,
I called my dad. I went back to my room, called my dad, and said, yo, I don't think I'm going to make it to the NBA. Like, I just seen the real NBA player, man. That man was like 6'10". Like, he was big as hell. He an NBA player. Fast forward about 40 minutes. I'm walking in the gym. All I see is something go off the backboard. Carlos Boozer.
Yeah, man.
Break the rim. Blue!
Yeah, but you don't get this. Like, you.
I was like,
I never got to see him because.
Why am I here?
He was younger, but like you hear about stuff like that, and now these kids actually get to see it all. Like, you get to go on that court and see that dude. I remember Lamar Odom, Khalil Alameen on the same team, Long Island Panthers. They had a 7'1" dude too. Mm. So imagine that. You got a 6'11" guy who can handle the ball. You never seen that. And Khalil Alameen, who controls the show. My next dude is 6'9", and it's me and Al. Just like, we gotta figure it out. Like,
you know, there was this dude. I don't know if he was good, bro. I don't know what happened to him. I went to ABCD camp. All right. They called his man, they called him the refrigerator or the freezer. Right? And I was like, why you got that nickname? He says, all I do is break glass. I said, wait, what? All I do is just break, I just shatter the backboard. Big dude. All he had was kilo marks on his back. Because whenever he dumped, he broke and shattered the glass, and the glass cut him.
See?
Sure enough. Like, dang.
So I remember saying that. Like,
yeah, I'm going home.
I didn't really think I was going to be a basketball player. Like, I thought I'd go to college and hoop, but, like, you said DC Assault, Keith Bogans, DeMar Johnson, yep, yep. Kevin Lyde,
yep.
Other dude that went to, another big man went to Maryland, that was on the Final 14 with them, their big.
Lonnie Baxter?
Lonnie Baxter. Lonnie Baxter. Okay, cool. We start the game off, it's a break. DeMar Johnson dunk on from the free throw line on one of my teammates. This ain't for me, man. Okay, like, we're gonna get this game over with, but like, they got full animals.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's wild though, you see dudes like DeMar and what he meant back in those days, and now people, but you know, casual, whatever term we want to use, they don't even have an appreciation for like when dudes like that used to show up at the gym. I remember you talking about Boozer and Ebo, where they had like Deshaun Stevenson.
Yeah,
I literally tweeted about this. I had to guard Boozer. I'm like a sophomore or junior in high school. Like, what am I supposed to do with this big ass grown man just getting embarrassed?
Like, this grown man.
Look like my dad.
Yeah, but DeMar came like a grown man. He had a full Coogi outfit.
Yeah, that,
like,
man, firms, DeMar was, like, DeMar was that dude.
Full,
for sure.
Yeah, he was a full-funded individual.
Yeah, like, individual.
Individual. Like,
this is like pre-social media. Yeah. These were the dudes you knew about, you know, because you would read whatever it was, and it was like, oh, yeah, DeMar is that dude.
Yeah, and he really
like
was.
DeMar was that dude. Yeah. When he came west, he was that dude. On this side, he had, like, Ray Young. You had Ray Young,
Vincent Yarbrough was that was people that like you hear about. I don't get to see them until ABCD.
Yeah,
and you either go to ABCD camp or Nike camp. So I saw the Ray Youngs and the Vincent Yarbroughs for my first time at ABCD being a junior, and I was like, okay, now I can compete, but you just hear a name, you see lists, and then now like you get to put a face in lists. Oh, that's him. All right, cool. Like they miss.
What's so funny is I had to go back. Somebody's like, yo, where did you rank in your draft? I mean, where did you rank in high school? And I said, I think I broke 99.
Same thing.
So somebody was like, who was in front of you? I was like, I don't know. I was always at the bottom somewhere, like 100, 150. I never actually looked at the top of the list. I never looked up there. So what I did was, it was like a few years ago, I went back and looked, and I didn't realize Joe Johnson, they were actually all in my class. It was just niggas at the top. it was at the top. I just all I knew from that, like in my class, who was like the man, it was basically Carlos Boozer and DeMar Johnson. That's the only person I seen from the heavens come down to this area. Other than that, I was in that 150 area, and
But that gives now for like we got sons, right? So now that gives them like the ability of like now we have the foresight to look and tell them like, listen, don't matter where you are right now, like. As long as you just keep getting better and better every year, because I probably pulled somewhere I was like 95, mm-hmm. and then I was 30 at the end of the year. But it didn't matter. Those names at the top, that does not translate into what you want to do. So like, as long as you just keep getting better and better, mm-hmm. some of that stuff just fizzles out. Like, some people just don't like basketball no more. Some people got bad habits. Mm-hmm. Some people can't get through school. Some people just like... It was just given. The number was given. Sure, like it's given. A whole.
It was in the right place at the right time, and now
it's hard. See some of these dudes and how they talk and how they move, and like this dude's not gonna qualify.
Right.
This dude's not gonna qualify.
Even now, like we got younger kids too that play on the same team. Mm-hmm. The top fourth grader. What does that look like for him? Like, they're giving numbers out way too early. That fourth grader...
Whoa.
Hold on. I don't even know what you're... No. I'm not saying that.
That's your fault.
No. I'm not saying that. But you understand. I love him like he's mine.
That's your fault.
My guy. My role with him is, let's not even pay attention to that. Because some people are really, like, living and dying on it, like, wearing on a T-shirt. Like, whatever. That number don't make no sense because they don't know. We got to keep getting better every day. And the best thing that he has is brothers
and other people in his circle to keep him humble.
Mm-hmm.
So, but some kids like living a, like the kid, and I don't know, but like the kid Mikey Williams, I felt bad for him because he got a lot of attention early.
Mm-hmm.
He's the number one ninth grader. He's the number one 10th grader. Like, you know how hard it is to keep that, X on your back, to not like get complacent, to not like, where I know where my stuff came from, I was always chasing. Mm-hmm. And you keep chasing and chasing, and at the end of the day, oh, we here.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to keep chasing is hard when you keep giving kids numbers way too early, because then they get a little full of themselves and then they gotta get humbled. You play your sons up so they can be humbled. Yeah. Yeah, you have to start managing in that, because some people put their sons, we got like, he had to be 12. We played a 9U team. He the number one 9U player. Yeah, because he's 13 years old, man. Like, yeah, he gotta be. Like, what you wanna, but keep, people care about those numbers more than anything. They gotta just keep getting better, and they gotta love basketball, because you can't do anything with basketball if you don't love it. You don't love this, and you don't care about getting better, and you don't care about like making sacrifices, and when things get tough, and just having fun with it, then none of this stuff is gonna be for you.
Mm-hmm.
None of it.
So, question for both you guys. You playing in the pros, were there guys that literally you thought didn't love the game?
Oh,
and how,
listen, bro.
And how many on a squad, and how hard is it for players like yourselves who love the game, live, breathe, eat, sleep it, to be around guys that are just there for a check or whatever it may be?
I played with some guys that were so talented that they didn't have to put in a tenth of the work like I put in. And I played with guys who didn't love basketball at all and just showed up. Like, I played with a guy, we had practice at 12. You could see every day he walking in the gym at 11:57 to get dressed. and somehow he find his way out at 12. And when practice over, you bring it in, boom, he walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get no extra shots up, no shooting time before the game. Go in there and get busy. He never maximized his potential. He'll start, go in there and get busy, go home. Just doing it because that's what fed his family, that's what he always done. From a small town. But like,
it didn't. You play with Brown?
Huh? Nah, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I'm getting about
it.
One thing that destroyed me, right? I signed with the Nuggets 1 year, and I signed after summer league. So I showed up, right? I was gonna be the 15th man, and I was gonna work my way through whatever. I showed up to Denver. Me and JR got there early because we was gonna start working out early. And every day, Allen Iverson would call and be like, "Yo, come to Dave and Buster's. They'll play shuffleboard." And they play pool to about 11:30, 12 o'clock. AI go to the club. You know, AI like to have a few drinks.
Mm-hmm.
He'll walk out the club. What time y'all going to the gym? We'll be there at 11. Me and Jerry at 11, AI don't show up. This is for like 2 months. Get to training camp, AI do a couple stretches. Call the ball dude, like give me like 25 spots, 5 shots. He fully AI, he ain't touched the ball all summer. Not saying he didn't love it, but like, that's just, he was so gifted that like, it just poured out of his pores. And you find that in the NBA sometimes, some guys just can be so gifted, they don't have to love it. They don't have to put work into it. Not saying that he didn't work. I never saw him work. He always said he was gonna work. He probably put so much work in prior to that by the time he was
Nuggets. I just heard him say he was gonna work.
I heard him say he was gonna work, but like at that point in time in his career, he didn't have to do anything just to be AI. It just was him. You get a mix of those things. Super talented guys that don't have to put that much work, guys who just are physically gifted, don't care about basketball, just do it to support their families. And then you got guys who actually love it, and you can see that. You can actually see that by watching the game.
But what's so funny, but that's where the clash comes in. That's where
teammates don't get along.
That's where teammates don't get along. So, and this was always my theory. This was always my philosophy.
You got a person like him who's sleeping in an arena and like shooting at 3 o'clock in the morning. So now I know I'm prepared and you can't make a shot because you don't do nothing like that. And y'all clash, right?
And I'm like, well, so you're like, yo, we're going to drop a player for him.
Why?
That he was at the club all night. I'm not passing him the ball. But fans don't know that.
No.
People from like SportsCenter, the Stephen A's, they don't know that. They're like, yo, dude is selfish. Nah, I'm not selfish. Him partying all night thinking he gonna get the ball is selfish.
Right.
I took 1,000 shots last night getting ready for this game 7. He was in the club, 3 girls. And you want me to pass him the ball? No, not happening. Not gonna do it.
You get psychopaths like him. I think that's right. But, no, but it's all from a good place. Like, no, right. But,
you understand it, though. Yeah, I know we're a team, but anyway, we all do our things. But you gotta, because I don't have the gift you have, I have to work for it. So when I don't see you working, it's like, no, I don't want to reward that. You've been rewarded too much for that lazy shit. I don't want to do it.
That's what makes good and bad teams, mm-hmm. like teams that like they got talent, but they can't really figure it out, like because it'd be a, like a little clash between like the workers, the non-workers, guys who care about it, who really will get some sleep, who really pay attention, like who really live and die to winning a basketball game rather than just, this is what I do.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So let's talk about Duke a little bit. I'm going to give you a hypothetical. Wow. Mm-hmm. So Coach K's having a cookout, invites all the former Duke players.
Okay.
Who gets the big piece of chicken?
Shane Battier.
Shane's taking it? Yeah. Christian Lander's not getting it? Bobby Hurd, like?
Shane Battier.
Shane's taking it.
I think Shane Battier will get that big piece of chicken.
Zion, they're not
I
doing
don't know
that.
Their relationship, but for me, Shane will get that chicken.
He's taking the chicken?
Yeah.
And Coach K,
Shane wants something else.
Over late?
Who?
Late Christian Lander?
I think Shane.
Shane is taking the chicken from Christian.
I think Lane. Shane's one of his guys, man. They've been Shane, Grant, Shane. Grant might get the big piece of chicken too. They might fight. They might fight for it. Yeah, but yeah.
If Coach K's making potato salad, is there raisins in it?
Nah.
Is it good? Is
South
it
South
good?
Of Chicago. He gonna
okay.
tell you.
Okay, good seasonings, appropriate.
He gonna tell you.
Not too much mayonnaise.
He gonna tell you straight. I'm from the South Side of Chicago. Mind you, I didn't even want to go to Duke. Whole other story, but I was on my way to Arizona.
Wow.
But that's just because I had never been there. I had never been to Arizona before.
Did you take a trip out there before?
Never.
You were just like, I'm rolling.
I'm transferring, and I had put my list of schools together. So
what year?
2000. What? The year you got
right?
Smacked in the national championship.
Oh,
I'd have been redshirting, and you'd have left. You'd have left. I'd have been redshirting, you'd have left, and I'd have came in, and they forgot all about you. Hold on.
I think they did it anyway.
They wanted me gone. I was so bad. I was such a terrible, terrible student. It's like, yo, you should just go on the draft.
Y'all had the fresh shoes and stuff. Like, I was going all places that had gear. Mm. Carolina, Arizona, Cincinnati, Georgia Tech, Paul Hewitt. Like somebody I was looking at, and then I didn't know nothing about Oregon at that point in time. But I had a fifth school in Duke called, and my pops was like, "Yeah, you gonna take a visit to Duke?" And I was like, "Nah, I ain't." And my pops was a person of a few words, don't talk that much. He's like, "Nah, you gonna take a visit to Duke?" So I tried to be a jerk and take my visit first, and then didn't take no other visits because Coach K got me in there. Sort of South Side of Chicago. I already know what you're thinking. I got 8 McDonald's All-Americans. Where do you fit at? I don't care about none of them. You play hard, like you work your way into it. And he kind of like fed like what I wanted to hear. Like I could earn my way in. I didn't care about like, oh, you're gonna be a starter or not. I just knew that I wanted to compete. I wanted to see how good I really was. I didn't want no type of slot or tell me what you're going to do for me. I wanted to earn something. And he told me all that. And I was like, okay, I have my mama ship my stuff in. Can I start summer school? he locked me in the office. He gassed me to death. But it wasn't gas. It was everything he promised he delivered on. And I had the same notion about Coach K that most people do. Like, they look at him And their perception is one way from watching the game and what the media says about him. And he's a total opposite. One of the best human beings I've ever had. My grandfather wasn't alive at that point in time. So he was like more of like a grandfather figure. He taught, he cared, like he was hard on me. Like he did everything to get the most out of me. And like
you said, Coach K, right?
Yeah. Coach K was dope. My mama hates him. My mama doesn't hate him. My mama's mad at him to this day. But because as a coach, I start understanding why he was doing what he was doing. Yeah, he figures out every player.
We connected.
He figured out every player.
Me and your mama connect.
And he found out what makes them tick. So he knew I could take constructive criticism. He knew I could take being yelled at. He knew he could yell through me to get to Gil because he couldn't really yell at Gil because Gil may be a little sensitive. So he had to probably coddle Gil if Gil was one of his guys. But he would treat each individual as the one, not group accountability. Like, y'all need to be better. No, you got to be better. You got to be more of a leader. And he would never congratulate me because every time he congratulate me, I would just like start floating. But if he attacked me, he might see me take to another level. And then he attacked me again, another level. And then he's like, I'm just going to see how far this can go with this kid. And that's when you see.
He got tortured.
But you challenge your players, like see how good you could be. I didn't get tortured. No, he never took it. He never was disrespectful, by no means. But my mom would come to a practice.
Mama knows best.
Mom would come to a practice and see, like, why are you always yelling at him? Because he's capable of more. He tells straight to her face, he's capable of more.
I didn't like him.
Why? Because he didn't recruit him?
No,
can't get it, because you could.
2006, USA basketball. I called this man on 4th of July to congratulate him. Hey, thank you, coach. Happy 4th of July. I did that. You know me. Happy 4th. You know I'm trying to put a brown nose. You know, whatever you need, I'm going to throw my ego away. You know, if you need defense, you need this, I'll sacrifice for the betterment of the country. USA.
For your country.
All that stupid shit hung up. Yeah, he gonna play me.
You get no minutes.
Man, this is hell no, I ain't get no minutes. But you know me. Yeah. You know, like, they got Bron on one team, Chris Paul on one team, D. Wade on one team, Chris Bosh on one team, Melo on team. I have Brad Miller, Antoine, Kirk Heinrich, Shane Battier. You know how I'm getting down. I don't have to pass the ball.
And he went with that.
Ever. So we playing against them. He mad at them for giving me the ball the whole time. It's like he personally has something against me. So we playing in 21. I got 18 of our 21. They trying to win. It's like, yo, why y'all keep passing him the ball? He's our best scorer.
So that's why you have a riff with him because
he's mad at them for giving me the ball. And then so we get in the game, everybody else playing but me.
We too old for this game.
This is we playing Lithuania. He subs me in. Three straight backs. Bop, bop, bop. Sub me out. Sub me out.
We sub you out four, though.
All I felt, you know.
Maybe like a D-Wade, CP,
No.
If Brad Miller came in for you, you get to be mad.
No, it was Bruce Bowen.
No, I ain't put Bruce.
Bruce!
You should feel disrespect. Hey, boy, you keep.
Hey, listen. You know how you balling so close? I got three straight buckets. Like, I got in, shot. I did one of those. Boom, boom, boom. Right? Sub. Ooh, about to get heated. What's up? Yeah, me? I just got in 40 seconds ago.
Yeah.
They sit on the bench?
Because you couldn't be Agent Zero.
He let everybody else beat everybody. He was everybody.
He did.
He played me to the left.
He did.
We played Brazil.
Did you get a gold medal? Get
hurt. We played Brazil. D-Wade get hurt. He had to put me in. Locked up Barbosa. Hit a shot.
Did you
got the offensive rebound. We end up winning the game because of it.
Did you win? Did you
benched.
Did you get a gold medal?
No. I left.
They give you like an honorary.
I left.
They give you an honorary gold medal?
No, I left when Tupac. That's where 50 points came in at. That's why I said I'm giving 50 to Mike D'Antoni because they was assistant coach. Y'all did that shit.
Okay. I wish you would have stayed. Hey, we got to fight through adversity.
What the hell am I going to say?
We got to fight through adversity.
I'm sitting behind Bruce Bowen and everybody.
Hey, which one you're right, okay?
Shane Battier over there getting all this playing time. Hell nah. But I was part of like that Nike, Adidas, you know, they was playing bullshit. But
I wasn't there for it. I can't take that for him.
If I had
he was
one,
good, he was good to me.
If I had one, if they said, but you can go and play one game, I give you amazing knees for one game, and you can pick the game to play in. It won't be no championship game. Be against that motherfucker right there.
You,
it'd be against
you
him.
Say that one game for
you and your
national
prime versus Coach K.
I would not. You can play any game you want in your to take back. It'd be against Coach K that championship game, and I would never pass the ball again. I would never pass. I would swear to God, I wouldn't pass it.
Need help.
We can lose by 100. I'm gonna have 100.
You need help.
So your mama was right.
Nah.
She was right.
Coach K and Coach O, they got a beef. They cool.
No, we all got beef, man.
All beef with Coach K.
Whole state of Arizona on site.
Babe.
I supposed to whoop your ass as soon as you sat down, to be honest.
You still holding
but
that
we cool.
You still holding that one? Cause I got walked down.
Listen.
I was there. You was there. I watched it. Like, you got walked down. Like, you got, it wasn't,
you got walked down. We the same place.
I didn't pass it to Dunleavy when we played just because of that.
It's not our fault, man. Y'all got walked down. It happened. Some legendary stuff happened, man. Yeah, you was on the wrong side of it. Let that go, man. We friends now.
I know we friends.
Okay, let it go.